The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many paths to transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes that might feel counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, also known as the Practical Alchemist, and I'm very pleased to have your company today. It's summer here in Scotland, and that means it's Arts Festival time. The Edinburgh Festival runs throughout August, and even closer to home, if you're listening to this in the first week of August, you can think of me enjoying the Pitt and Weem Arts Festival right on my doorstep, literally. Now, you may be someone who looks on art as something for the elite, but I believe it's quite the opposite. Art, creativity, is an essential part of a healthy life. And art is important for our mental health. We seem to be in the middle of a mental health crisis right now. But the good news is that according to new research published in the Journal of Mental Health, art therapy has a powerful and positive impact on mental health. Psychologists who conducted a study across a mental health unit discovered that the average length of stay for patients was significantly lower when they engaged with art therapies. Not only was the length of stay reduced, but readmission rates were also significantly lower. And my guest today is someone who knows all too well the part it plays in improving well-being and from first-hand experience how it helps anyone who's neurodivergent. Amy Eubank is the founder of PowerPlay, a bespoke service to help people find a creative outlet, such as writing plays. She even helps people to see their work performed on a London stage, which must be a dream come true for some people. As well as being trained in the performance arts and having had a highly successful career in that arena as a playwright, actor and director, Amy is a qualified coach who works in the corporate world at senior management level. Here's how I started off our chat.
I don't think it's any secret that we're in the middle of a mental health crisis, nationally, internationally, maybe even, because people are talking about the numbers of people waiting here in the UK for help with their mental health problems. But art, and art in all its forms, can be a really great form of therapy, can't it? Maybe not replacing normal therapy, but to help us get stuff out there and just really let go of some of the emotions that we're holding in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think as someone who's been through a lot of therapy myself, I'm a great advocate for talking therapies. I think they're absolutely phenomenal in terms of processing some of your deeper emotions, feelings, barriers, blocks. They have such an important role to play in our self-development and growth mindset. But I will say that I think creativity can sometimes fall by the wayside because we're doing so much introspective work. You know, when we were younger, a lot of us, when we were little kids, would engage in play, would engage in creating stories, would, you know, step into that other world very freely and very naturally. And now, of course, as grown-ups, although a lot of us don't really believe still that we are grown-ups, deep down,
I don't, but certainly. I'm still a child.
I know. It's a ridiculous notion, isn't it, to suddenly be a grown-up?
Yeah.
But the
yeah.
world of adulting is such, it's so exhausting that I think finding time and space to create something just feels like it's at the bottom of the pile. And actually, what we do at PowerPlay is encourage people to find their stories, and not only find their stories and write their stories in the form of a play, in the form of theatre, but to have that story witnessed. which is really, really key. Now, it might be a personal story to them on the surface, so it might be a story which is literally about their life, but more often than not, it's something where gems of them, pieces of them, treasures of them are embedded into the story that they tell. So it might be a restoration comedy, or it might be something that's set, you know, in a time, in a mythical time. But when we work with clients and writers, playwrights, actually what we find is that often, you know, you will have a character in there who is perhaps reflection of their mother, or reflection of their brother, or something that they've been through in their life. And there's a real beauty to that, because it's not only the story itself. And of course, we're experts at crafting story and helping them to understand how that works on a piece by piece, you know, scene by scene basis. But actually, it's about the deeper emotional connection that you can have through having a story witnessed. And I think, as you say, you know, with so much mental health crises, it's at the bottom of the pile. You don't keep yourself accountable to that kind of thing. And that's what we do with Power Play. You know, we really try to encourage people to not only write their plays, but keep writing them and get to this end point of having their play performed on stage.
I think that's a brilliant thing, because for a lot of people, they are dying to, you know, get something out there that's creative. But they often will think, well, you know, that's too much of a big hurdle for me. What do I know about that? So to be able to help people to get their stories out there is fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. I think, you know, it's something I'm really proud of, and that we work really hard to make it. It's a kind of bucket list experience, in the sense that, you know, if there are a lot of people that did art when they were younger. They might have gone to university and studied art, or you know, writing, or done creative writing on the side. And then, as I said, their life has taken a different direction for whatever reason. And they think that part of their life is over. And, you know, we're really there to say it's not over. You know, there's still a way to reconnect with that creative, playful part of yourself. And we can show you how, because it's not as simple as just saying, I'm going to write a play, going away and writing a play. Actually, it does take craft, and it does take work, and you do need to understand how to go about doing that. But as you say, the way to put a play on is often a barrier, because people will think, I don't know anything about the world of theatre. I don't know anything about, I love going to see the theatre, but I don't understand how to produce a play. I wouldn't know where to start. Where do I find my actors? Where do I find my director? And that's where we come in and say, you know, we've got this. That's all the stuff we do. We'll support you to write your play, and then we'll get it on stage if that's one of our packages.
That is a huge thing. Really is a huge thing. And for people who, I mean, I think it's fantastic, but for people who maybe even think that that is too much for them, what can you say that would help people who just want to express themselves but find that very difficult? They want to be creative, but maybe, you know, are thinking, well, putting on a play is a bit much, right? It's even so.
Yeah, so we have a number of packages that we offer people, but we also work on a bespoke basis with clients. So it might be that there's someone that actually just wants to write their first play ever. They don't necessarily want it performed. They want it for them. And actually, that's where we start with when we're working with people, is having a consultation to ask them, actually, where are you at, like in your life, in your creative life? So at the start of our packages, we start with a sort of silver service, which is working one-on-one with an individual to build their confidence. There's an element also of coaching, and I'm a qualified coach. And there's an element of, it isn't coaching per se, but invariably when you're working on someone's heart, which is really what a lot of writing is, their stuff comes up, and that's really natural. And, you know, I would never say I'm a qualified therapist, but I do understand a lot of that world. And actually being able to say to someone, wait a second, this feels like this is a hard scene to talk about. Is there something going on here? Is there something that we need to think about? Maybe we don't touch that quite yet. Maybe you're not ready to go to that place. So, you know, you can work with someone to actually get them to write the play that will lovingly sit on their coffee table, and it won't maybe be performed, but it will be something that they've created and that they've brought out of themselves. And then I think for people, you know, the other side of that is Of course, you can work with someone like PowerPlay, and you can do that work. But equally for yourself, if you're not in a place where you're ready, you know, to work with anyone, then start doing things like morning pages, which you may have heard of, an exercise which came out of the Artist's Way originally. But morning pages is a brilliant exercise where you just, the first thing you do in the morning, you wake up, you have a notepad and pen. Don't even go for a wee. Like, you've got to just pick that up first thing in the morning. It's a bit harder when you've got caring responsibilities, but we managed to get through it somehow. You grab a paper and a pen and you just write. And it's before that id, that ego has kicked in where you're judging your writing. And you put pen to paper and you write and write and write. And if you can't think of anything to write, you just write the words, I am writing. I am writing, I am writing, I am writing. And actually what that does, even if you're writing, I hate this, this is awful, is slowly you set a timer for 20 minutes, some things will start to come out and you'll start to reconnect with that creativity. So morning places are a really great place to start.
It's so true. It's so true. If you're looking at a blank page, just, you know, I was always taught, if you're looking at a blank page, just write something. Just write something and then the rest will follow. Isn't that really, really important, isn't it? But it's such a long time since I've heard anybody talk about the Artist's Way. Explain to people what the Artist's Way is.
So the Artist's Way is a book. I can't remember when it came out.
Oh, ages ago. Ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say 80s, but maybe around that. And it's a book which is basically sort of working you through different exercises and ways of thinking. There's quite a spiritual element in there as well, which you can kind of take or leave. You don't necessarily have to. And it does say that at the beginning of the book, actually. And it works you through different exercises to reconnect with your creativity. It's definitely one to, you know, even if you don't follow it religiously, to work through and look at the different exercises. There are things like going on a date with yourself, and, you know, ways to reconnect with the way that you create art and put it out there in the world. And it's all about writing. It's a really good book. It definitely was a seminal book, wasn't it, of its time?
It certainly was. And it really did highlight the fact that creativity is so important for us all. We're creative beings, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely we are. And I think we've lost a lot of that that way of being because it feels silly. You know, an element of it just feels silly. It feels, you know, it doesn't feel important, in inverted commas, you know, whatever that means. It feels like the more important things, and I'm not in any way saying, you know, a lot of people haven't got enough money. There's a lot of food banks. There's a lot of very, very difficult things happening. So, of course, those things, living needs to be prioritized at that stage. But at the same time, a lot of us, myself included, when we're tired at the end of the day, we just put the telly on. So we can't, you know, we haven't got any headspace left. We don't have any bandwidth left to create. But actually slowly trying to habit stack to just say, you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to write for an hour a day. I'm going to set an alarm when I get home, cup of tea, and I'm going to write for 20 minutes. No more, no less. No more is key as well. So just that's all I do, you know, 20 minutes and I write and then that's it. And it's that sort of habit stacking that can really help get back into the process of creating and writing.
Yeah, consistency is really important. But yeah, you're right about the no more being really important as well, because you don't want it to become a chore and you don't want it to become something that eats into the rest of the day. It needs to be something that you have fun with.
Right. And you don't want to resent it, right, as well. Exactly. It's taken suddenly, you're like, oh, I was writing for 2 hours. Now I've got to walk the dog and I've got to do, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
You know, it's really about kind of, certainly at the start of revisiting creativity, it really is about just being comfortable of getting back in that place and remembering, you know, it's not that important. And I mean that with love. In that it's important for us inside, but it doesn't matter if what you write is rubbish. It doesn't matter. It's just a story. So actually, we do need to have a word with our egos sometimes as well and just sort of say, you know, oh, I wrote something rubbish. So?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. And I learned that over the years, and certainly with art, drawing things. You see my... trust your magic elephant behind me here.
Noticing
it's
that.
Not mine, but a friend of mine who actually does art classes called drawing it out. In other words, bringing out your emotions and, you know, everything onto the page. Trust your magic, I think, is a good one. But no, I mean, I'm looking at something that I've framed and got on my wall now. I have no idea what it is or what it means, but I did it in a fit of creativity one day. and I thought, it's quite decorative. I'll put it up there.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter. And I used all sorts of different things to create it, just as my my elephant behind me is made with, he's painted with coffee and all sorts of things. Anything that came to hand. But so it is a question of just getting out of your way as well and just saying, you know, it doesn't really matter. And not feeling that you're going to be judged. Well, some people might judge you, but what, you know, so what?
They're judging you, then they're not your people. Do you know?
That's
the thing. They're not your people, so let them do their thing. And I think, you know, in a world where we are so at the moment broken into camps, you know, there's so much different types of people, and there's a lot of antagonistic stuff in the media around groups and all of the stuff, and there is so much divide at the moment that actually art and sharing a piece of art with someone can really bring us together. You know, it's an amazing thing, especially in theatre. You know, there's nothing like a theatrical experience. There's nothing like going to see an amazing play and being there with a group of people, you know, that you'll never speak to them, but you've all shared the same and yet a different experience. And in a world where we're all attached to our mobile phones, we're all doing so much individually that actually that communal experience has been lost, I think, quite a lot.
Yes, and there's something really special about the theatre experience, I believe. It's so different to watching a film in the cinema. Well, we'll hear a bit more about that shortly, but first we have to take a break. Stay with me. I'll be back right after these messages.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my special guest today, Amy Eubank. Well, before the break, I was saying how a visit to the theatre is a very different experience to going to the cinema. To me, it's a more uplifting experience. And here was Amy's response.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I had a really good conversation, actually, of what can theatre, on a course recently, what can theatre do that other forms can't, which was really interesting because we were a bit stumped. We all playwrights and all know about it in ourselves, all know in our heart and our soul what we love about it. But to articulate that was really difficult. Mm. I don't think we came up with the perfect answer, but we were saying, you know, it's about immediacy. And I think there's something about the humanity in theatre. The fact that it can go wrong is really, really, there's a jeopardy to it, which is obviously adds to the drama, but there's a humanity to it. You know, someone can fall over, they can forget their lines, these things. Whereas if you've created a piece of art and then it's in a gallery, it's finished. Whereas, and a piece of a film as well is finished. Theatre is alive and kicking. And, you know, you can go there and watch something or be a part of something or write something and see something that you've written performed and think, oh, my gosh, like, we don't quite know what's going to happen. And sometimes, you know, when I was an actor, I was on stage and the lights all went out. And great. we just kept talking. We were doing a P.G. Woodhouse play. You know, feathers in our hair and all of that. And me and the guy who were in the car, the other actor at the time, we just kept doing the scene, you know, jolly hockey sticks and all of that stuff, the way we're talking. And then suddenly the stage manager stepped in and said, hi, everyone. You know, we've unfortunately had a power cut. But, you know, as actors, you're just like, just keep going. Just keep telling the story, no matter what, even though it's in the dark. But the beautiful thing about those moments when you do have a piece that goes wrong, is that actually the audience are so on board once it's gone wrong. You know, it's like they're the best audiences, because when someone's, you know, potentially had a little trip or forgotten a line or something and had to come out of character for some reason, you come back on stage after the reset and the audience is just so on board because it was alive and they witnessed the humanity of that story.
And there's an energy. There's an energy. You know, absolutely. The whole theatre is filled with a certain energy, which you don't get when you're. It's seeing a film or watching a film is a bit like looking at a piece of art on a wall.
Yeah,
it's 2D, and it's, you know, you're not in that immediate energy of the performers, and so there's a certain lack. Although, don't get me wrong, I love cinema, and I really love the art form, but it's different.
It is different. Yeah, it definitely is. And I think a lot of, you know, theatre is expensive to make. It is
expensive to go to as well. Yeah.
Expensive to go to. You know, luckily now there are good schemes around and there are things, you know, that I would urge anyone that's listening to this that's thinking, oh, it's all very well, you know, I can't afford to go to the theatre. I totally, totally get that. But there are some really good ways to watch theatre. And that's some of that, you know, ironically, after what we're talking about, is watching at home.
Yes.
So the National Theatre at Home, is, I think it's £10 a month. Amazing, amazing stuff that you can see on there. And there's loads of different theatre at home options now. Especially if you want to study craft, if you're interested and you think you're listening to this thinking, oh, you know, I did have an idea for a story, it's worth just watching some of those from your sofa and thinking, what was good about this play? Like, what was it? What made me feel, actually, is the end of the question when I was watching this. What were the bits that were interesting? What bits did I enjoy? Just to start getting that part of your brain working, because I think often, if you're not in the world of stories, sometimes you can watch something passively, which is great because you're just enjoying it. But if you want to start getting into doing a little bit of writing, then watching and noting what works for you is a really good way to start.
It really is. I agree with you. It is. And, you know, sometimes, though, I know that if you are editing things together and, you know, putting, YouTube videos together, not these are very simple, but, you know, you have to think about, well, where do you do the edit? What, you know, what works where, and how does that go together? In fact, I was showing a friend of mine some time ago, years ago, and he said, you know, you've ruined watching anything on television for me now. Oh. So I'm just looking at how they're editing it.
Absolutely. And I was speaking to someone the other day actually about how. You know, going to the theatre with me isn't that much fun, because I will just be honest. I come out the interval and, you know, I'm pretty much analysing everything. So it, on both ends, you know, I will come out of a show and be like, oh my God, did you notice how they did that? And that was amazing. And that was brilliant. And what a beautiful piece of, you know, suspense. And equally, if I think something hasn't worked, I'll say, you know, I don't know what the director was thinking. So I'm definitely in that space as well. I think you can't turn it off once you've turned it on.
You can't. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, right?
Like so many things.
but let's get back to the mental health issue here. You know, it's I know that you help people who are suffering from burnout and who, you know, and all of that, I think, is down to, well, I've suffered from it myself. And I think a lot of the time it's because you're not doing really what you are cut out to do, and you're forcing yourself into this, you know, very narrow bandwidth of creativity or lack of. And so you help people who have gone through that to really come out of themselves. And what do you think about AI, artificial intelligence? Is that helpful at all?
I think AI, you know, there's a lot of fear around AI, and I understand that in the artistic world, you know, I completely understand that, this idea that we'll be replaced and that side of things. And I think, who knows where it's going to go? It might be that AI can write the most amazing play, you know, in a few years time, that you won't be able to tell whether it's written by human or written by, at the moment you can, do you know, if you plug in,
you can
tell. But it might be that down the line you can't. And when that, if and when that happens, I probably think when that happens, actually that will be, it will be even more important, the process of writing, the process of creating.
Yeah.
Because what happens out there and writing something on the page and telling that story with AI is one thing. But actually, I know firsthand, you know, I've written plays, and I've written plays about some really difficult things that I experienced in my life. And actually, the process, the healing process of that writing and of that then seeing a play performed, is such that that can't be replicated by any computer, by any robot, because actually that healing itself is so profound. But it must be in the right hands. And actually, that's really, really key, that if anyone is listening to this thinking, I've got a big topic that actually has affected me very deeply, and I want so much to write a story about it, whether that's a novel, whether that's a play, whatever it might be. But actually, having the right support around and understanding of the fact that creativity is a beautiful thing, and of course you can write on your own, you can write, people write for, you know, years and years, write novels on their own, but actually if it's something that you're feeling nervous about writing and you're not sure whether you can touch those places on your own, then having a mentor, having someone to support you, to say, you know, for example, I know you were going to finish this act by this date, but it didn't happen. So I'm just wondering what's happened there, you know, really asking the person and really understanding that these are sensitive issues that will invariably come up. And often when I work with writers, they'll, first of all, they don't on a level know what it's about. You know, they don't necessarily know that it's about their stuff. And I know that when I've started writing things as well before, you know, I've been thinking before, I'm going to write a comedy. And of course, it, you know, all the stuff trenches up and you're like, oh, no, it's not a comedy at all. But these things, you know, the story will find a way. So if you have something that you want to get out and tell a story, it will find a way. And having the support with your mental health as you do that, so that you don't feel alone, having a cheerleader, first of all, because it's brilliant to have a cheerleader to keep you on track, to keep you accountable, to help you with the nuts and bolts of how to write it, but also to understand the writing process. There's a catharsis to it, and you're getting stuff out. And to have support from another, from a mentor and from someone else helping you with that is really beneficial.
Yes. And of course, be careful if you're going to publish something about characters and, you know, real life scenarios. We've seen recently how that can backfire a little bit.
Quite. And I think that's really important. And that's one of the things that we do at PowerPlay. We will say, like, I will say with clients, like, are you comfortable with this? Would they be comfortable? Do you care if they aren't? You know, these are really key questions, like, what will the knock-on effect be of this? Will people recognize themselves and think about that? Because actually a lot of damage can be done if you don't think quite deeply to yourself, you know, and to other people, who don't quite think quite deeply about where you position people in a play.
Yeah. Yes. And then talking about writing, there's something really quite powerful about actually physically putting pen to paper or pencil to paper, isn't there? You know, writing on a computer is fine, but there's something actually quite powerful about that connection between your mind, your creative mind, and the physical written word.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, I've got a little boy and they do a lot on iPads at the school, which I'm a bit like, oh, I understand why they do it, and I need to just get over the fact that we're from different eras.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I just want, you know, I don't want that to be the default. Like, because I do, as you say, there's something about a physical thing you can hold that you have marked. And it's as simple as that. It's you on something, you know, and it's physical. And even one of the exercises I sometimes do with writers is get them to write something, again, that might be quite personal to them, if they're very, very self-critical as well, is getting them to write something and then ripping it up, you know, ripping it up or burning it if they can do it safely. And actually, again, that's a process of creation and then dissolving something. And it's led by the writer. And it's something that you have control over. We don't have a lot of control over a lot of things now, or even if we do, certainly a lot of us don't feel like we have a lot of control over things. A simple act of putting pen to paper, of creating art, is control. You have some control over what you do there. Now, what you choose to do with it afterwards is up to you. But the motion of movement as you tell your story, I think is really key. And of course, it depends on if you have neurodiversity and dyslexia and issues like that. And of course, it's different for everyone. There's some great tools out there for people who are neurodivergent. And I am neurodivergent, so I understand all of those things. But I think, as you say, there is something about seeing your words on paper that is just, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I really do find putting pen or pencil to paper is sometimes the only way to get my creative ideas out there, get my creative juices flowing. But we'll hear more about that and AI in a moment. First, it's time for another short break. Back right after we've heard these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today is Amy Eubank. We're talking about art and mental health, and mentioned AI before the break, artificial intelligence. I wouldn't want to say AI is all bad. A friend of mine has a young son who's creating the most wonderful art using AI. It's definitely one way to express your creative side. So I put it to Amy that there are different levels of engagement with AI.
I think so. And I think AI can be really useful in things like research, and really useful to just think, I want to write a play set in the 70s in Ireland, but I wasn't alive at that time, so tell me some things about what was going on, and actually you can get some really useful starting points, I think, from AI. It's not necessarily going to be the finished product.
And neurodivergence, you say that you mentioned that, and you said that you were neurodivergent yourself. How does writing or being creative with writing, how does that manifest, or how does that help anybody who, the spectrum is so huge in terms of neurodivergence. I can't say that word this morning, but neurodivergence. But how does that impact somebody who is neurodivergent?
So I'm late diagnosed autistic. So I was diagnosed as autistic 2 years ago-ish now. And it's been a really useful diagnosis for me, partly because I think I have always been creative, but I've also found the real world really difficult, which is probably why I've immersed myself so much in story. Story is a way to escape from the real world. And it's such a brilliant tool for anyone, but particularly for people that are neurodivergent, particularly for people that actually, it's a real struggle to do the masking thing. It's a real struggle. They end up, you go to a meeting, at the end of the meeting, you just need to sleep. Like, it's a lot. And actually, I think back to my time at drama school, which is 20 years ago now, when I was at Lambda. And I think back to the students and I think, my gosh, I think so many of us when you're at Divergent, we just didn't know it was a different time. Actually, so many of my friends who are creative are neurodivergent. And I think for those of us that are having creativity in our life is not really a negotiable. You have to use creativity in order to express those frustrations and difficulties with trying to fit in with the neurotypical world. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about being neurodivergent. There's lots of challenges, but actually being able to create art And that being really one of your first languages is really such an asset. So I would sort of celebrate anyone who thinks they might be neurodivergent or who is neurodivergent listening to this. Just lean into that part of yourself, even though it's not necessarily the one that's going to get you loads of money or the one that's going to make you famous. Like, try to lean in. And I have to teach my, you know, I have to remind myself of this a lot because, you know, I'm running a business and doing all of those things. And actually, I sometimes I'll think, I've actually written anything this week. Oh God, I've got to take a leaf out of my own book. So really, yeah, just using creativity as a way to express some of those difficult, big feelings. You know, I heard someone recently talk about autism. It may have been ADHD as well, but particularly anyone who is neurodivergent in some form, that we operate on energy first. So, you know, being in a room and there's tensions, or, you know, you pick it straight away and you're reading, you know, particularly for me, micro movements in people's faces and all of that stuff, those energies that you're picking up. And that can be a brilliant asset, but can be really, really tiring. So putting it down on paper is a great way to calm the nervous system when it's elevated.
That's really interesting, yeah. And how much is that being recognised now by healthcare professionals, let's say, maybe in the National Health Service or elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And I don't know straight away is the answer to that, in that I don't work in the NHS. But I know that schools, from second-hand experience from my son, are definitely leaning more into creativity for people that are, you know, challenged in that way. I think there is things like art therapy. I know that NHS has got those initiatives throughout the country, but I think it's on a trust by trust basis. You know, it's not kind of consistent. And so I think it really is up to the individual to, you know, try to take, of course, it would be lovely if that was available for us on the NHS, if it was available for us, but actually the NHS is so stretched, and really it's about trying to think, okay, can I give it a go myself, or can I get someone to support me to give it a go?
Yeah, yeah. But just picking up a pad and a pen or a pencil and writing something down every day, you reckon that's a good start?
It's a great start. And I wouldn't even pressurize yourself to be every day. Do you know, like, I know, you know, when you've got a kid, when you're working, all of that stuff, just even if you say like once every 3 days, but put it in your diary, you know, book it in, because that time will be taken otherwise. It's a non-negotiable time, as long as everyone else is safe. And I also would say, you know, a lot of the time when we do have caring responsibilities or you know, we feel like, particularly those of us socialized as female, will feel as if we're needed maybe a bit more than we are. So, you know, I must be the one to do that. I must be the one to sort the house, or must be the one to take the kids, or must be the one, whatever it might be. But actually ask if someone else can do that for you, whether that's a friend or whether that's a partner, and that you can carve out some time for yourself and stick to that time. You know, make it important, because it is important. Your mental health and your creativity is important. It's not valued in the same way that other things are valued in our society.
Yes, and creativity comes in many different forms. And I had an aha moment last night. I was thinking about, you know, speaking with you today, and I was scheduling a load of social media posts, and I was really enjoying it. And I thought, why am I enjoying this suddenly? Mm-hmm. And it was because I was being creative. Because yeah, what I had done a few days back last week, is I'd gone on a walk, it's only about a mile and a half, and I started taking pictures of all the wild plants, the flowers that I was seeing along the way. And I recognized a lot of them as herbal, you know, flowers, herbs, mm-hmm. medicinal plants, edible plants. And I thought, well, I'll just see how many are in this, I think it was a mile and a half there, so a 3 mile walk.
Mm.
And I think I got 20 odd something. And I thought, I could post one of these a day and talk about them, right? So I've started doing that. I've been doing that for the last week, and I scheduled another week's worth last night. But the fun part, I mean, apart from taking the pictures, the fun part was editing, cropping the pictures, you know, just editing, not editing them, you know, so that you didn't recognize them, but just, you know, thinking, oh, you know, I'll take, you know, I'll just take that bit of the frame and I'll put that. It was great fun.
Yeah, of course. And as you say, creativity can be found in so many different ways. It may be that you're not necessarily a writer, but maybe you love design, or maybe you love art, or maybe you love doodling. Do you know, like, it doesn't have to be highbrow. It doesn't have to be that you're great at something. It's actually just a way, you know, poetry is really good as well. Just and giving yourself sometimes, you know, restrictions can be really useful to sort of say, I'm going to write a haiku a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. I like writing haikus. They're great.
They're great, aren't they? They're really good. They're a really good challenge. And actually, you know, something like that that's fun and playful, because we often forget how to play. And that's one of the things that we do, you know, as well. Obviously, at PowerPlay, we work with people that want to write plays, but we also go into businesses to bring theatre into the business world as well. So often you'll have, you know, talk about burnout and things like that, but often you'll have things like company values now, right? That's a big thing. What are our company values? How do we behave? You know, and I've worked in HR as well, so I've seen it all from that side. But actually, a lot of those values are really dry and they don't really come to life, because people just see them and they're in the staff handbook and, you know, they're not necessarily, oh, great, okay, I need to be kind, or I need to be whatever. They just feel sort of like a nebulous concept. But actually, at PowerPlay, we come into businesses and we shake it up and say, okay, what does this mean at your company? Like, let's tell a story, let's try and get this going and make it resonate with you on a deeper level, because those values don't mean anything unless we can feel them. Do you know? Absolutely. Unless we can't live them, unless we can feel them. So, you know, that is really important as well when you think about. Yes, of course, there's the one-to-one work in writing plays, but actually as a collective, what can writing together do? And that's something that, you know, we've just launched PowerPlay and Business, so it's a new part of the company. But actually, it's really exciting to be able to go in and talk to people and get them to start getting that creativity in the workplace. And people who would always say, I'm not creative, suddenly they, you know, the more comfortable they get and the more able to see that story is everywhere, that actually they can bring something that feels unique and not dry, because let's face it, a lot of work can just feel a bit dead.
Yes. And those values, you know, companies will put the values down on a card and hand them out to all their employees, and you're expected to then just understand and get that and live work by those values, but they're just on a piece of card.
Exactly. And no one really knows what they mean. And also, a lot of the time, they're so generic and they're not applicable to that individual company, because they don't feel relatable at all. So, you know, if you say be kind, and obviously that's a phrase that has been bandied around a lot, but I don't know what that means. And it's like, what? And so when we go into companies, we will have conversations, first of all, with HR teams and, you know, managers, if relevant, or senior leadership, and say, like, what do you mean by this? Like, can we dig into this a bit? And then from there, with the team, write the story of the values and see actors perform the story of the values and bring it to life a bit. Because look, we're all sick of PowerPoints, right? Like, we're all sick of that, you know, especially post-COVID, all of the constant Zoom meetings, and let's bring a bit of life into life.
Couldn't agree with you more on that one. Absolutely. Well, Amy, listen, we're coming to the end now. It's been fantastic talking with you about all of this. It's really important, I think. And, you know, do tell us where people can find out more about you and your work.
Absolutely. So, thank you, first of all. It's been great to talk to you and to be on the show. So you can find me on www.writeyourpowerplay.com and on Instagram at writeyourpowerplay and TikTok on writeyourpowerplay as well.
Amy Eubank there. Do check out her website for much more. But remember, you can make a difference with just the small stuff too. Start taking pictures with your phone, or even make a video or two if that floats your boat. Write a haiku. If you don't know what that is, it's a special format of poem originating in Japan that I actually find fun to play with.
So here are the rules if you want to try it out, the rules for the English language versions of haiku. So a haiku only has three lines. The first line has five syllables. The second line has seven syllables. And the third line has five syllables. And none of those lines rhyme. Traditionally, haiku are about nature, so you can see why I like them, and particularly the changing seasons. So try it out. But even if you just buy some cheap paint and splash it over a piece of paper Jackson Pollock style, it can help you feel good and it might even end up looking good. You don't have to show it to anyone. It's the act of creation that matters here, the release of something inside you. And with that, we're coming to the end of the show. I'd love to hear if any of you have been encouraged to be more creative and what you've done. You can email me at jj@thepracticalalchemist.uk or send me a message at Practical Alchemist on Instagram. You'll be able to see the wildflower pictures I was talking about there and also on my Practical Alchemist Facebook page. Do check out my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, as well. And if you want to find out more about me, then just head on over to my website, which is thepracticalalchemist.uk. Of course, if the energy clearing work I do interests you, I haven't talked about that today, but do go to safehavenhealing.uk if you want to find out more about that. And if you're hungry for more health information, check out Health Triangle magazine. Here on UK Health Radio, you'll find it on the homepage. For now, though, I want to thank you for listening. Do join me next time for more practical alchemy and more fabulous guests with information on how to be naturally healthy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.